Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. I hope the Lord encourages you as I welcome Dr. John Swanson to the studio today. John and I go way back, and his biographical information could take up the whole program, so I'm going to try to give this as much honor as possible. John and his lovely wife Nancy persevere in service to the global collegiate community while residing in the Great Northwest. And during these days prior to the return of Jesus Christ, John's conviction concerning the need for ministry to the college community is greater than ever. He continues to be amazed at the growing skepticism toward the most basic truths in Jesus Christ. And although John grew up in a religious home, he did not commit his life to Jesus Christ until he was a college student. It was there that he saw a pressing need for ministry to the college community. John wondered why it was that so many were hostile to the eternal truth of Jesus Christ. Discerning the Lord's clear leading, John and Janice, married in 1980, began training for full-time ministry to collegians and were appointed by Missions Door in June of 1990. On December 31st, 1996, Janice went home to be with the Lord after a 13-month bout with cancer. The Lord demonstrated his faithfulness to John and Janice and their kids, Sasha, Sarah, and Joshua, during the process of the loss of this precious woman of God. And years later, John was blessed, yet another sweet provision from the Lord, this time Miss Nancy.
Amen.
They were married in November of 2002, and Nancy is the director of business at the CB Northwest Ministry Center. The kids continue to walk with the Lord Jesus as they mature. What a great thing. His credentials are daunting. A BA in Christian Ministry from Pacific International College, Masters of Divinity in Collegiate Ministry from Western Seminary, Master of Theology in Eschatology from Western Seminary, and a Doctor of Ministry in Leadership and Spiritual Formation from George Fox Evangelical Seminary. John incorporated Endurance Ministries in 2000, which addresses current cultural affairs in light of the eschatological end-time data in God's precious Word. The ministry takes a thematic approach while at the same time offering chronological insight as explicitly outlined in the Bible. And John serves as the field director for this contemporary ministry. To add to all of that, he has ministered as an instructor in Bible colleges and seminaries around the world, including Russia, Moldova, the Philippines, and even our own Gresham, Oregon, at the Oregon College of Ministry, where I first met him as a professor. He has written The Final Trumpet Rapture Gathering, an introduction. This introduction represents one of the fastest-growing end-times positions today. John is so graced by God to have a generous shepherd's heart in the areas where God has called him to serve. And as a result, he's open to your questions and comments and is available to speak in churches and educational settings, offering a wide range of presentations tied to Truth Matters themes. Okay, John, I have to stop or there won't be any time for you to share with us today. And I know that your message is powerful, so welcome to the program.
It's great to be here, Leslie.
So, why Endurance Ministries?
Through the course of studies in different institutions, I found some polemics, some argumentation on interpretive scriptural matters addressing end times. And I thought, Lord, you put this material in your word, but it's clouded by debate of interpretation. How can we go about honoring your word, your appeals toward preparedness and expressing your shepherding heart and affirming these truths without all the controversy? So the board and I put together a ministry that emphasizes, as you made reference to, themes within these end time passages that we are to heed today for the sake of being prepared, for the sake of avoiding deception, of falling away. Scripture talks about many places, many times during this end time setting. He has given us counsel in his word. So we incorporated this ministry for the sake of emphasizing biblical themes, especially as we look out in culture and see these very things coming to pass. It's awesome.
It is awesome. Just what do you mean by the word explicit?
Explicit is one of the appeals we make through the course of our ministry. It's seen highlighted in our truthmatters.com and truthfoundations.com websites, where we say, let's make a distinction between interpretations of Scripture from that of what the Scripture actually says. So we find many end-time positions, very popular positions today, that are implicit. They're taking biblical passages, they make interpretations which are outside of what the text actually says, and then they go on to make end-time conclusions. We use the word explicit because by God's grace, we have an epistemological, or how do we know what we know, foundation of truth, where we say, let's go to the Word of God and let it speak for itself. So explicit means the text actually says final trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15. We apply that. So we've actually named our position the final trumpet rapture gathering, because the text teaches that explicitly, not interpretive. It's actually a statement of the text.
Well, you know, in all the classes that I took at Oregon College of Ministry, one of my favorite was the world view, which several students had difficulty with, but I was so fascinated with. And you did teach us how to take something and say, okay, how does this line up with the Word of God,
yes,
first and foremost? And don't take it out of context. Read the passage, read the chapter, read the book, formulate your ideas, and then see if it matches up.
Yes.
But definitely everything, you know, God's Word is inerrant. And I want to be sure that people understand that that means it's never wrong. It is the greatest guidebook that could ever have been produced for us to live our lives out.
Amen.
And I don't want to be fooled. I am a doubting Thomas. I do not want to be fooled. And when I read that passage about many falling away in the end days, it's a little frightening, because you begin thinking about, okay, I don't want to be fooled. I want to be sure that I'm right on track, that I haven't allowed some false teaching to come in. I want to know that I know that I know. Because, one, I don't want to be fooled. And for heaven's sakes, I never want to lead anybody else astray.
Oh, amen. That's dear to my heart too, Leslie, because in one setting of campus ministry, I was sharing at our book table outreach with this one student, and it was clear that she was holding to a false Christology, a false understanding of the definition of Christ, which pertains to some of the end time passages. And I was trying to clarify, well, the Bible teaches that Christ is not this cosmic evolutionary force. It's actually the person of Jesus Christ. And we came to disagree. Well, in the course of that conversation, another campus minister came up and joined us in conversation. After a few minutes' time, he actually patted her on the back and said, "You're in the kingdom," because she made reference to, "Well, I love Jesus." And my heart sank, because according to not John Swanson's opinion, but the Word of God, if you have a false understanding of who Jesus Christ is, you do not have God. So that's very much on my heart, that we speak truthfully. We don't give people false hope. But according to biblical truth, this gal was going in the wrong direction. She did not need to hear from this other campus minister, "You're in, you're a part of the family," because by her very testimony, she was not.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that specific reference up, because last night I had the most amazing conversation with a woman who had come to ask me to please pray for a friend of hers' father who was undergoing brain surgery today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she knows that I am a believer of Jesus Christ, and she knows I'm an ordained pastor.
Yeah.
And I said, "Thank you for recognizing that I have a connection to God." And then it broke into this conversation about, "Well, you know, I don't really believe in God the way you do, and I've never read the Bible because I want to gather my information and make my own decisions, not man's decisions." And so we got into a conversation about the Word of God and whether it was written by man or whether it was inspired by God. But then she started telling me about how she believed in this Christ essence in everybody. And I kept looking at her thinking, what is she talking about? And it just, it grew from there about this Christ eminence in all of us. And
Christ
that he's
consciousness.
He's not a person. And then last night, as I was preparing for this lovely interview with you, I read one of the articles that you've written on your website, and it spoke directly to that, and it went, oh, this is what this is about. So thank you, bless you, and thank you for making it clear in that article what exactly she'd been talking to me about.
And we believe that's one of the things God has called us to, taking his word in as to what it actually says, and observing culture, and flaunting his word, saying, look, the very first thing that Jesus said in his end time address was, see to it that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, or I am he, as another passage, related passage speaks to. This is happening in our culture. It's not a futuristic thing.
No.
It's present. So
it's
some
now.
People have told me, John, you're dealing with the end times, the future. No, it's here now. And we need to be discerning. How do we best discern? The capital T truth in God's word.
So I'm discerning the definition of terms is extremely important in this inquiry. And so could you illustrate this aspect of protective shepherding ministry?
Yes, and Leslie, can I go ahead and do, I mean, I could choose how the New Age has changed into the neo-Gnostic appeal because of the Da Vinci Code and some of these things, and that's still being emphasized just in a little different way. But can I use an in-house, inside the church example?
Is absolutely.
I believe our three of our most popular end-time positions are bringing false hope messages, conflicting to the word messages concerning what our Jesus, what our Lord said as to preparedness. One example, and this is where the definition of terms is huge, or definition of phrases. In talking with an expert in the area of a preteristic understanding of end times, which means preterism is this all happened in the first, well, in the early church, because there are different types of preterism.
I've heard that.
Yeah, and we don't have to concern ourselves with these passages that you're referring to. I said, I understand, Gary, your view that this has happened in the early church and it's fulfilled, but give me evidence for that. And he said, John, it's all about preterism. That was his answer to me. And I'm thinking, no, we need to have some warrant for, some support of this position. Because as I look at, it's all about preterism, I hear you define, for example, the term coming in Matthew 24 as Titus's judgment upon Jerusalem and the sacking of Jerusalem when the Roman legion came. Now, that's very different from the definition of coming. And the context of Matthew 24, well, if your position is not true and you're misleading people as to what the word actually says concerning the coming of Jesus Christ, and you're attributing something totally different, you're actually asking people to come into a state of ill-preparedness, a posture that is not prepared. Why? Because this doesn't apply to us today. It's already happened. It's not for us. And it's wrong of you to say that it does. In fact, he blames the decline of Christianity in America because of those of us who believe that the Word of God still addresses end-time things that are so pertinent for us today. That's a huge matter. Because our Lord Jesus said, be ready, be prepared, be discerning, be watching. And so when a brother in Christ encourages people with the wrong message that has eternal, potentially eternal consequences, that matters. Truth matters.
Oh, absolutely. And I've recently heard that one with a conversation I had with another young woman about, you know, thinking that, well, this all happened back then, you know, the Holy Spirit died with the last apostle and all of these things have happened. So, you know, we're in this lovely time frame where things are great and we don't have to worry about it. It's frightening, isn't it?
It's a wrong message.
It's a wrong message. What other examples might you have?
Well, it's important that the listening audience discerns my heart in all this. It's not to be conflicting or polemic against other positions. It's what does our Lord say? And he says there are consequences to false belief, misbelief, erroneous belief. And so that's what's pushing me forward. I care for his sheep. I want to take that heart of the Savior and live out my assignment as far as what is the Word of God say concerning aspects of the Savior, the heart of the Savior? Well, how about protective shepherding? And that's one of the huge themes that we try to emphasize in the endurance ministry effort and on our college campus ministry effort. So I just wanted to clarify that that's what's driving our heart. It's not to be get into ugly argument. It's because we care about what our Lord has told us to be about, preparedness, readiness. Okay, so in light of that, could you repeat your question?
Well, I think I might move on to another question. I had asked if you had another example of a false teaching that you're hearing in a church setting right now, because I think that's crucial for all of us to learn that it doesn't just happen with talking with people outside of the church body, like when we're at work, whatever, but sometimes we might hear it from our own pulpits.
Yes. Let me address another one. I know this might step on toes, but you know, as sheep go wayward, we have that tendency. We need a kind, speaking the truth in love, correction back into the truth. So that's, again, my heart in using this sample. I hear it all the time. It'll all pan out in the end. In fact, it was even referred to earlier before we started taping. Amen to that. There was a pastor that I was working with in Coeur d'Alene at the North Idaho College campus. I'll just call him Pastor Sam. And we were getting to know each other so we could grow in trusting relationship before we joined hands together to do ministry on campus. So we were just doing small talk. Well, what do you like doing? So he shared, his intern shared, and I shared, well, I really impressed about end time matters and how the Word of God addresses though and them. And he didn't even wait for me to finish, but he said, oh, I have the view it'll all pan out in the end. Well, in that context, and I've heard this in pulpits, etc., time and time and time again, I did not want to address this in front of his intern. So I emailed him shortly after that saying, Pastor Sam, that's cool that you believe that. On what grounds?
Oh, I remember that question from class. On what grounds?
What's your basis?
Yeah.
What's your justification for this? Amen. On what grounds do you hold this view? Well, I thought he was going to say, well, the Bible teaches that. And my response then would be, but doesn't the Bible say a lot more about the end time thing? So if you're consistent, the Bible says that it all pan out in the end. Amen, but it says a lot more, and it says that there are dangerous times preceding the return of Christ. But you know what? I didn't even get to that because he didn't even answer my question. This attitude of it'll all pan out in the end, relating to definition of terms, also includes this attitude, we don't have to go there. We don't have to discuss this issue because there are more important issues. I don't agree with that. Scripture teaches to the contrary. It's too controversial. That didn't hold Jesus back from stepping on the toes of the religious leaders when he was confronting their traditions that they had elevated higher than the Word of God. This is in Mark chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 15. Well, there are traditions in our churches today that are tied to end time themes, which undermine preparedness that our Lord has called us to. We want to address those. So, preterism, problem teaching, it'll all pan out in the end. If you hold that dogmatically and completely reject God's counsel for us today who are living in the end times, danger, 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 warning. There's some consequences that you don't want to bear.
Well, you know, I jokingly made a comment before we went on the air that that I need to rethink the next time I say it, because I simply said, well, I've read the rest of the book, mm-hmm. You know, I know the outcome.
Yeah.
Woohoo. Well, but that does not necessarily mean that I don't have to be prepared to go through that time.
It's a both and.
It is.
Yes. We know the end of the story. Amen.
Amen.
But he's also given us some important revelation, wisdom to apply personally today.
During these times, absolutely. And just in those conversations that I've had so recently, all the way from the lady last night asking me for prayer because she knew that I believed in God, but yet talking to me about Christ consciousness, to people who are right now so whacked out about the Mayan calendar ending on December 21st, and I really haven't researched it much because I haven't put any basis into it. But those are the things that, you know, we have to address, is those people who are professing Christians and yet are so terrified of the end, and they're trying to stockpile food and water, and how am I going to protect my family? And it's like, what happened to God in all of this?
Yes. Oh, amen.
And it breaks your heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there are extremes on both ends. And scripture calls us to the full counsel of his revelation to us. So that means, let's avoid the extremes, but let's balance. Balance is such a big word. Well, who defines that balance? It's in God's word. So when scripture says, don't worry, keep your mind on kingdom things, for the rest of it will be taken care of. Well, amen to that, but don't throw away the counsel that our Lord brought in Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? And read that in the context. So there's a balance of preparedness, but not an extreme perspective where we imbalance other important things, but there's a both and. So let's look at the full counsel of the Word of God, say yes to these things, and shine as Christ has asked us to shine in this very dark culture.
Yeah, it's a very dark culture right now, and I'm amazed daily. I'm being approached by people because they know they can talk to me, and I think that they feel that they're safe and that they can share their fear and know that I'm calm, hopefully, and that I can speak into them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our time is coming quickly to a close, and I want everybody to know out there that John is going to be returning with me next Saturday to continue sharing his heart as a servant of Jesus Christ to all of us. And in the meantime, if you want to look at some of the information that we've been discussing today, you can go to John's websites. And the first one is www.endmin.org. That's endmin.org, or www.truthfoundations.com. And if you have questions or comments, he'd be glad, very glad, to receive your requests, your email requests, at John Swanson. And that's JohnSwanson. That's John, John Swanson, at msn.com, or emfielddirector@gmail.com. You know, I hope you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus and the love of God the Father. And I pray that you will be encouraged through today's conversation and through God's Word, and make it a part of your daily routine, and that it will become your every breath that you take. As always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie and my special guest, John Swanson, who will be returning next week, and we will both see you next Saturday to continue this pivotal topic.